Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday. Sports Bros, Rob and Soup.
Sada.
I'm Rob. Big Soup's right over there.
Right here.
With dude.
Finished watching my first grade sex ed video over the break. It's pretty exciting. I learned a lot.
Did you?
I did.
Don't touch yourself in front of an elephant?
No. In fact, apparently that's okay. So it's okay to do. The elephant is shy and embarrassed about his trunk. I'm not kidding, by the way. That's a real thing. And he learns that it's okay. I'm Jason Sakanet.
So
my
I was right.
Penis is very, very important to me.
You asked, why would they have an elephant in that video?
Yeah, I think I know why. Now you know why. The elephant is embarrassed. And we all learn that the elephant should not be embarrassed. But there's an appropriate time and place. Apparently the inappropriate time to show that video is a first grade class. Oh, God bless the hippies.
Somebody said Springfield not too hippie-like.
No?
No, I think it's a little more rural Oregon than hippie Oregon.
Well, because it's weird, because like Ashland's down there, and like if you go outside of Ashland, that is not hippie country, but Ashland certainly is. It's like an oasis of dirty hippie.
Yeah.
Pockets.
I've heard Springfield referred to as Springtucky, if that does anything for you.
No, okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there are, it's definitely pockets, right? Yeah. It's like they all find each other.
Yeah. It's always weird when it's just like a small community that pops up in the middle of an area around it that doesn't really vibe with that. And that's how you end up with an elephant inappropriately touching himself in a video shown to first graders, I guess.
P1 Scott loving this material. He says, hey, it's me, Petey the Peppy Penis. And my good friend Veronica, the vivacious Vagine.
Well, don't we all remember, not first grade, I think ours was in the seventh grade, and I remember when we had sex ed, and I don't remember what his name was, but our health teacher, he was an older man with jet white hair, and he wore transition lenses, which automatically made him suspicious. And then they were on one of those choker chains that he could take the glasses off, and they would hang on his back, or like hang on his front. And he had to show us and it wasn't like an animated video, but it was, it didn't show real people. It showed like drawings of
elephants.
Like of the anatomy. I've never been more uncomfortable and wanted a man to stop talking in my life.
No, no.
Yeah.
Strong.
I think.
No.
Look, when you're in seventh grade, and I think ours was seventh as well.
Yeah.
It's just it's the most awkward time of your life.
Yes.
And then they spring this stuff on you.
Yeah.
And nobody wants it.
No.
The teachers don't want to teach it. You don't, you're like, what is happening?
No.
They showed childbirth in ours.
Yeah, I
and I,
that. Yeah.
I don't.
No one was prepared.
No, nobody. I still have the image in my head.
There were kids. We saw that a little bit later. I saw that in like seventh grade, and I remember there being kids in my middle school be like, "Oh, it's going to be so tight. It's going to be so cool."
No, nope.
And then no, it no. was like anyone who thought it was going to be fun to watch that, it was not.
No, it's not good. It's all bad.
I mean, now, did you learn anything in sex ed?
Yeah, I learned not to ever take advice from a 60-year-old hippie with transition lenses when it comes to putting a condom on. I think it was a banana or a cucumber. Like, to see that happen in the seventh grade, no one's prepared for that. Nobody.
Cucumber, huh?
Again, a little extreme. We're in the seventh grade, for God's sakes. What are we doing?
All right.
I wish I could remember what that guy's name was.
I don't remember who taught us sex ed.
I'll never forget his face, but I don't remember what his name was.
Coming up this hour, we have our NFL Week 10 butt fumble. We will talk about Yuki, the only cool thing to talk about with regards to the Blazers.
And apparently...
And he doesn't even play for them.
The only thing worth cheering for at Moda Center last night. And by the way, that's true.
You want to talk about a bad way to go? That story in the club... And how many of the 10 most commonly forgotten vacation items can you name? Mm. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Hey, it's me, Petey the Peppy Penis.
Number five.
Yeah, a lot of people chiming in here. Springfield is the Longview Kelso of Eugene.
I could see that. There was one teacher determined to change all that. She had a breakthrough.
Rays infielder Wander Franco. You probably forgot about him. He's only 23. And, of course, I say Rays infielder. He's no longer Rays infielder. He is set for trial in December for human trafficking, sexual exploitation, and money laundering.
14-year-old dude.
He had been free until yesterday. Of course, he was not allowed to leave the Dominican Republic, but he's now been arrested on a weapons charge at an apartment complex in the DR where guns were drawn.
Yeah, my man, when you're facing child sex trafficking trial, maybe don't pull guns in parking lots. He gave up, was it like $183 million contract he signed?
That's good advice. Yes, they gave him a lot of money.
They gave him a lot of money.
And like I said, he's only 23. He's ruined his life.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is going to go to trial.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess like if he gets off,
got a chance.
If he gets off on that, like,
do you bring him back?
Number four. Yeah.
He's a good question. Yeah. He's like a really good prospect.
Yes,
I don't know. I guess technically he's still a member of the Rays.
Yeah, are they still having to pay him?
I don't know. That's a good question. 13-0 a year ago, Florida State is just 1-9. Hammered by Notre Dame over the weekend, 52-3, and of course, for that, heads must roll. So they have fired both coordinators, offensive coordinator Alex Atkins and defensive coordinator Adam Fuller, and the wide receivers coach, because Lord knows the wide receivers sucked.
Well, you can't fire Mike Norvell. You gave him like $100 million guaranteed.
Well, I mean, you could fire him.
Yeah. I honestly cannot remember anything like this. A team that was undefeated last year, and came into the season, what, like a top 10 team, and 1-9? Never seen anything like it in all of college football.
13-0,
yeah.
1-9.
Yeah. Shocker.
Mm. Number three.
Mm. Yet another star injury in the NBA.
Is anyone left playing?
Oklahoma City's Chet Holmgren has a pelvic fracture after a hard fall. He is out 8 to 10 weeks at least.
Yeah, they're saying 8 to 10 weeks, and then they'll give an update on return protocol. Dude, he's going to be out a while.
Will he be available for the playoffs is really the only question.
Yeah,
they'll be a playoff team still.
And by the way, like he was, I don't know if anyone's paying attention to old Chet there, but he was the real deal.
He's putting
it
together.
He was having a really nice year. But when you're 7-1 and you weigh 9 pounds, you fall down, apparently you crack your pelvis. Which, by the way, just sounds awful.
Yeah.
How do you recover from
like
that?
You like hurts.
You like have to wear some sort of girdle. It's no good.
Well, you just don't move around much.
It was only a 45-point loss for your Blazers last night. They are now 3-8. Next up is a back-to-back at Moda against Minnesota Tuesday and Wednesday.
This should be fun, right? By the way, a really shorthanded Memphis Grizzlies team.
I would say this too. Somebody asked on the text line, and we'll do a Blazers seggy coming up here at some point. But they said, is Chance a good bet for first NBA coach fired or next NBA coach fired? The answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah. There's some
absolutely.
There's some rumors floating around.
Despite him sucking rocks in the last two games, Joe Flacco gets another start for the Colts against the Jets this week.
Well, and this just goes to because Steichen came out and said that you're not seeing Richardson anytime soon. So this is not about people keep being like, why are you doing this? Joe Flacco sucks. This is not about Joe Flacco. This is about Anthony Richardson getting to sit and get a breath. He was getting overwhelmed. Caleb Williams, the same thing's happening to him. Bad habits, getting beat up, and so this is more about just giving him a break. This has nothing to do with Joe Flacco because the offense isn't any better under Joe Flacco. He doesn't give them a better chance to win at this point, but you risk doing long-term damage by throwing someone in there that's unprepared.
Bit of a shocker from the Seahawks today. They cut their leading tackler, Tyrell Dodson.
Yeah.
He is out. He'll be replaced by fourth-round pick Tyrese Knight.
Yeah, save a little money, and I think this comes down to he is actually having an okay year. He's really good in coverage, but like of the 66 middle linebackers in the NFL, I think he's like 61st against the run. So he's a good coverage guy.
And they got a draft pick behind him.
Yeah, at this point, like he is not your fix there. You're both your linebackers you brought in were absolute busts. So you got rid of them, and you try to see what you have in one of the younger guys.
We also have Monday Night Football tonight. Dolphins-Rams in L.A. Just about to get underway. Tyreek Hill is active for Miami. The Big Ten now has four of the top five in the AP poll. Oregon, again, number one, followed by Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, and Indiana is fifth. BYU jumps to seven. They are right behind Tennessee. Ole Miss is up to 10.
Let me tell you right now, I love me some BYU. Very proud of my guys and Kalani Sitake. Penn State and BYU, yeah, those are not... The ranking is not indicative of where either one of those teams are as far as the best teams in college football.
Yes, but it's not about it best.
No.
It's about most deserving.
But seventh,
and right now, Indiana and BYU.
Yeah. BYU seventh in the country, 9-0. Boy, I don't know which is more surprising, honestly, Indiana or BYU. Go Cougs!
One other note, former USC coach, of course, he coached with the Rams as well.
We were just talking about him the other week.
We were the other week. Yeah. John Robinson has passed away. He was 89 years old. Former Duck, by the way.
Yeah.
Won the national title for USC in 1978.
It was great. And then came back and coached there again. Didn't have the same success. I actually played against him. He was the coach at UNLV when I was at BYU.
I heard him speak once and he was tremendous.
Yeah, by all accounts, like people swear by
him. He was really good.
Yeah.
But I remember watching the second run.
Yeah.
And he was terrible.
No. Well, you know, they tried to go back and relive the glory days, and it wasn't there. I believe he's still the all-time winningest Rams coach as well.
Victor Rico's Mexican food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. The NFL Week 10 butt fumble coming up next on The Fan.
All right. John Anthony's confirmed information.
No, you're wrong.
This week it was different.
It's confirmed analysis.
Yeah.
Oh.
He moved on from confirmed information to confirmed analysis.
Well, he was right, assuming he took Miami, at least so far.
Anyone that wants to hate on Tua, they are... I don't know if there's another team that has the stark difference when their quarterback is in versus the backup. But I know it's a huge difference when any time a starter goes down. But Miami with Tua... It's a very functional, dynamic, fun offense. When he goes out, it's like, oh my God. It's like the worst thing I've ever seen. Just like my eyes bleed. But they, you know, when they're fully cooking, I don't think they beat good teams. In fact, I don't think. I know. That's confirmed information and analysis. But they're fun to watch.
Well, they're already up 7-0.
7-0.
On the Rams.
And this is as healthy as the Rams have been all year. So this is like the full complement, basically, of the Rams.
Well, let's get into our NFL Week 10 butt fumble.
Yeah.
The Chiefs win again.
I am confirming, more confirmed analysis, that now that the deal between Tom Brady and Satan clearly has is worn off. I mean, he's no longer an active player. Satan has now signed Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. How they keep doing this is beyond me. Now we're blocking like chip shot field goals.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
What? And I, by the way, I did have that thought when they were lining up, because the Broncos just knelt. Like they didn't get any closer. They were like on the 20-yard line or whatever. They just took some knees, lined it up, and like, hey, this is going to be the last play of the game. I thought to myself, dude, there's no way the football gods are going to let Bo Nix beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I said, except I thought maybe it'd be like a bad snap. I was like, what a way to lose. Like, cause, and the kickers have been funky. What, 9 missed field goals, right? I mean, Moody missed 3. Atlanta chumped a couple.
By the way, Moody, oh boy.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to be a mutiny over there.
Yeah.
Your Niners tried.
He had missed the last week. He was coming off of injury, so he hadn't kicked in 2 weeks. Yeah. But like, if you're out there, they expect you to put it through.
Yeah. Ooh. So I just assumed that was either going to be a bad snap or just like a duck hook. But dude, that thing got blocked, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me, Kansas City. They cannot lose. It's the dark lore overlords will not allow it.
It was crazy. Denver played great. That's a gut punch because they almost took them down.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks after being embarrassed, or maybe it was last week.
It was last week they got
embarrassed by the Ravens.
Yeah, and look, they only scored 14 points, but Kansas City has a really, really good defense, and Denver's defense is really a good unit, and they were just absolutely torched by Baltimore. And so, yeah, I felt for Denver because, dude, they ground out what should have been what it would have been a 17-16 victory over Kansas City, and then the blocked kick.
So the Opta stats had this one, that the Chiefs are the first team in NFL history to win 9 straight games, including the playoffs, in which they trailed after halftime.
Yeah, it's just...
it's nuts.
And if it wasn't Kansas City, and if it wasn't Mahomes, it wasn't Andy Reid, I would think that this is, again, like a paper champion. This is like, when you see teams that win games like this, you're like, dude, they're not that good. Because eventually, you always regress back to the mean, right? Well, you always come back.
The season's not over.
I know, but they just...
They're not going to keep winning like this. They're going to drop a couple.
One would think, but there's just... I'm not betting against Kansas City. Like, if you ask me who's the best team in football... it's not Kansas City. I wouldn't put him at second. I don't even know if I'd put him at third. And yet, in a head-to-head matchup on a playoff field, I still don't think I could bet against them because I just feel like I'm pissing my money away.
Does it feel like a bit of an inevitability that we're just going to get Lions Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
I don't think it does.
No?
No. Not to me.
I just think Kansas City, the luck has to run out at some point. And again, when you play games like this, someone is going to nick you. And although maybe they get the bye, and so that's one less game. But I mean, they should have lost last year in the playoffs. So you don't win 3 in a row. I don't think they're going to get there. I don't think this offense is good enough to get to a Super Bowl. But you know, they're 9-0, and so what the hell do I know?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like if they're playing like this, somebody will get them in the playoffs. Some of those teams in the playoffs are cooking on all cylinders.
Yep.
And I just don't...
They are not right now.
No, but they... I mean, they're... Look, I'm not counting them out or anything. Because, you know, Mahomes and Reed, but...
Yep.
I don't know.
They figure it out, man.
They don't have that look. Super Bowl look.
Yeah.
And my Lions, who turn it over 25 times and still win.
Well, 5. And really only 4. Because the one was the Hail Mary at the end of the half.
Jared, 5 picks.
4 picks.
He threw 5.
I don't count the 5th. It was a Hail Mary at the end of the half.
I don't care what you count. He threw 5 picks, you bitch.
And they still won. Yeah, that's
amazing.
That's a gutsy, gutsy win.
The Texans have a little something. I was watching another game that they were playing. Was it earlier this year?
The Rams won last week against, the Jets won? They lost to the Jets? They were national TV?
I'm looking at their skid. They had a game earlier this year. They just tried every which way to blow. Oh, it was the Buffalo game. That was the exact same game where they had a great first half. It's like, man, they look good. And then, dude, they could not do anything right in the second half.
No.
And they still won. So they're weird, but they've got this kind of we're going to choke no matter what vibe the Texans do.
Yeah, and they've got... they got weird things going on because the offense and I know there's been injuries. The offense doesn't look anywhere near what it did last year. It feels like Stroud's get a little bit of a regression because he's just under duress all the time. They run the ball for decent numbers, but they can't run the ball when it matters at all. They're like one of the worst teams in early down rushing. And so they end up in a lot of a third and longs, and then Stroud's forced to bail them out because they can't protect anybody. It's weird. Like, and Slowick was last year, their offensive coordinator was supposed to be like this. Remember, he was going to be a guy that was going to get one, you know, one of these jobs. And they're like, oh, he's the quarterback whisperer. And everyone thought that him coming back and Ben Johnson coming back was going to lead to this offensive explosion. And it has in Detroit. It really hasn't happened in Houston. And while Houston has a good record, it's another one of the, they're what, 6-4 now, I guess, because they lost that Lions game.
Same as last year.
It's same as last year, and it just feels like you feel like Kansas City finds ways to lose games. I like the Texans, but that is a team that I Ed Rooney, I do not trust them as far as I can throw them. There is something to me fundamentally broken about the Texans offense, but boy, they can rush the quarterback. Yeah. And that's the other one. If you wanted to take something out of this game, like, because Detroit looks like probably the best team in football, but this is the one thing that you can say about Jared Goff, who's been so good since coming over to Detroit. And this was true when he was in LA, it was true when he was at Cal, and it's true in Detroit.
Golf.
He is, besides the fact I can't pronounce his name, he is a statue back there. You know where he's at. And when you pressure him, and it's hard because he has a really good O-line, arguably the best O-line in football, but Houston was able to pressure him. And when you do, you can get the old, you can get the old Jared Goff that shows up, and that's not a good version. And so that is, unlike some of the Mahomes, Allens, Lamars, the guys that can extend plays, Brock Purdy, all those guys, he does not have that element to his game. And if you had to say there's one Achilles for the Detroit Lions, it's that if you face a D-line like that, they can get after him. That Lion offense can get real bogged down real fast because of him.
Isn't that isn't that what wins Super Bowls, is defensive lines like that?
Yes.
I mean, that's what wins.
That's what wins.
And so they're going to run into that. They're not going to miss that. I mean, if you look at the NFC, I don't really know yet who their biggest threat is.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
But a lot of those teams could bite them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly the Niners.
Yeah.
The Eagles.
Eagles have a good front. Like, if I'm looking at a team that's going to beat...
Yeah, like, who's... Power rank the NFC threats to Detroit.
Oh, gosh. It's weird because I keep wanting to say that San Francisco is going to figure it out. I don't know if they will. I think San Francisco still has the stars. I'm not certain that the role players are there in place anymore. Philadelphia is the best roster, not named Detroit, and yet I have zero faith, and I mean zero, in their coaching staff. Minnesota is... The wheels, I'm not saying they're coming off, but you're starting to see that was coaching and it wasn't talent. I still really like Green Bay. The NFC South, again, power ranking. I'm going to say, honestly, I think Philly and Washington may be 1 and 2, and I'm not certain where that is. I think that may be the biggest threat to them. And then I'll go Green Bay, and I'll go San Francisco, and then maybe I'll throw Arizona in there.
Ooh, the Cards.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I kind of like, although again, top end talent, I don't think it's there, but they quietly may be the best team in that division. San Francisco, again, McCaffrey coming back, if he gets it together and they kind of round into form, we've seen San Francisco take a long time to figure things out in the past, and they figured out, so maybe we give them the benefit of the doubt, but you know, special teams is funky again, and just, you know, the injuries. And I just don't think that the glue guys are quite there like they've been in the past.
We're at week 10, and I feel like this happens almost every year, where in week 10, the teams you need to identify are the teams that are not cooking on all cylinders, but have the bones.
Yes.
And Kansas City certainly falls into that category.
Yes.
San Francisco falls into that category, and Baltimore falls into that category. And this is anecdotal, but it feels like any team we're jocking in week 10, it's not it. They're peaking. Maybe they're peaking too soon.
Too soon.
Or they're just hot, but it's really hard to keep that up.
Yeah.
And I go back to the talented team. You know, Buffalo's another one. They're not necessarily not clicking on all cylinders, but they haven't played their best football yet.
Yeah.
And that's another one that's capable. Those four teams right there, Buffalo, San Francisco, Baltimore, Kansas City, mm-hmm. I'd bet that one of those four wins it.
Yeah. I could see that.
As opposed to Detroit or Philly or...
If Baltimore can ever figure out their defense and... It feels like now in some of these, like with Baltimore and Cincinnati, they're kind of the same team in that, like, can you just outscore people? Like Lamar Jackson's the best player in the NFL. Like I've always said, it's Mahomes and it's not close. It's not. Lamar Jackson is the best player in the NFL, period, end of story. Because yes, I get you go back and you look at the Super Bowls and Mahomes, but no, the last 2 years and this year, especially, he's the best player. And the shameful part is he doesn't have a defense. They finally have this offense that's just this juggernaut, and their defense is letting them down. It's like him and Joe Burrow. It's like you have to score 40 points win games.
They have the bones of a good defense.
They can figure it out.
And that's what I'm saying is we've seen teams that we thought would be better defensively not play that well and then wake up towards the end of the season and play better in the playoffs or just get hot. Defenses do get hot.
Yeah.
Remember the Colts defense? Entered the playoffs. Peyton Manning, the year that Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl with the Colts,
yep.
That defense was, I think, the worst rush defense in the league.
Yeah, it was terrible.
The worst. And everybody said, well, they're not going to win.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden they got to the playoffs, and their defense was great.
Yeah.
So when you have Kyle Hamilton back there, again, if they just got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
The guy, it's more about the guys that they have. And Baltimore, I think that's a candidate to get it figured out. And if they do on defense, watch out.
Look out. If they can even play... like top, like 12 to 15 defense, and that secondary can get it figured out. Dude, their offense is scary good. And then, like I said, I know that it's a rookie quarterback, and I don't love their defense, far from it. But again, in a thing that's wide open, dude, the Commanders. The Commanders are good.
They're not going away.
No, it's like them and that game against the Steelers. That was the game of the.
That was the only good game yesterday. Well, yeah. I guess the Niners Bucks ended up being pretty good.
Yeah,
but yeah, the Steelers. How about a little love for my Steelers?
Yes,
that was a hell of a win, and they are much better with Russell Wilson.
Yes,
they just are. I mean, that was a great game. I think those teams
Mr.
are
Unlimited.
Pretty similar. But I was reading a stat about the Steelers that said that they, you know, they before Russell Wilson started, they were averaging 289 yards a game. Mm-hmm. Since, 382.
Yeah.
And they have the one thing that they've never had, or at least recently, and that since Roethlisberger, and that is a deep threat.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is that what do they call it? Just that lob ball that he's throwing?
Just those little
It is freaking so good.
And they've got two
deep ball, man.
And they've got two big receivers on the outside now that, you know, that they can go get those. I mean, and Pickens isn't as one dimensional. But, you know, you get a guy out of New York, an old Big Mike there on the outside who really just can do one thing. But he does the one thing really well. And you saw that in the corner. And for all the crap that Tomlin got, you've seen this offense take a big step forward with Russell Wilson. You know they play really good, solid defense. I'm impressed. You have to take both of those two teams seriously. When I watched that, I said, I think both of those teams are contenders. And the other one, if you wanted to say kind of like the bones of something that could round into it, and again, I think theirs is a lot of health, keep an eye on the Packers. You know, if Jordan Love gets healthy, and I know that, you know, the Lions bludgeoned them pretty good, but again, he was far from healthy. They got wins over the Texans, wins over the Cardinals, lost a nail-biter to the Vikings, nail-biter to the Eagles. I still like Green Bay's roster. I really like their coach. I just think health, we've yet to see Jordan Love find a rhythm because he's been banged up all year. If he finds a way to get healthy down the stretch in a wide-open NFC, keep an eye on Green Bay, because from a talent standpoint, I like Green Bay a lot more than I like Minnesota. And I think those are two teams that could be going in the opposite directions.
Well, I have to highlight something. You know, earlier in the show, we got an apology from you for crapping all over UCLA.
Yes.
And you have now admitted that Pittsburgh is a contender.
Yes. I have.
That is a 180.
Yes.
Because you've been crapping all over them, too.
All year I looked at Pittsburgh and I said, dude, you're doing the same thing Pittsburgh does every year. And they beat bad teams. They play suffocating defense and they win 10 games. They get into the postseason, but they are so limited on offense that they're going to play against better teams. And you can't, that style doesn't win in the modern NFL. And since making the switch over to Russell Wilson, it is no longer just this one-dimensional offense. And we'll see as this goes on, but they just beat the Commanders, who I really like. They've got a big one next week with Baltimore, which is going to be awesome. They got one against Cincinnati. They got Philly, another one against Baltimore. They got the Chiefs. I mean, there is a brutal schedule coming. And
they still haven't played a division game.
Dude, this thing is going to be nasty down the stretch, but... Highsmith getting hurt was a big deal for them. And hopefully it's just a sprained ankle and he come back in a couple weeks. But the way they play defense, and I thought that was as good, even though they gave up 20 something points, I thought that was as good as someone has played against that Washington offense, which is really good all year. And I do think Russell Wilson, while it's not like the world's best offense, I think it gives them, for the first time since Roethlisberger retired, it gives them a real multidimensional offense. And you do that with the defense, then yes, I think you have to take Pittsburgh seriously.
Well, I mean, we have this blueprint, and I would say that offensively, Pittsburgh is better than this team. But when Peyton Manning went to Denver,
yes,
they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson is in better shape than Peyton Manning was at that time.
Yes.
And they won.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you couldn't take Pittsburgh seriously.
Yeah.
So after the move to Russ.
All of a sudden, it's kind of fun that we're looking at this. And it is exciting as we get into this back half of the season to see, like you said, not about who has the best overall record. It's who starts playing well down the stretch. Who gets on a heater? You know, can Cincinnati do something? You know, can Atlanta figure something out? And they're probably going to win that division anyways, with some of the injuries that everything else has. You know, can teams start taking that step forward? I mentioned Green Bay. Does Arizona, does San Francisco figure it out? This is where the NFL really starts to get exciting when we get into the back half.
Just now starting. What do you make of this stat? And how about a little Yuki love? It's Yuki time. The NBA has its own BTJ.
Yeah, it does.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, here's Buck. All right, wrapping up the NFL Week 10 butt fumble, where Jake Bates got his 15 minutes.
Yeah, he did.
Did you see his post-game interview?
Oh, yeah.
Where he said that... it's not about him making or missing field goals. It's about him spreading the word of Jesus.
Well, he was selling bricks, and now, thanks to the Lord, he's out there kicking game-winning field goals.
I love a good photo. Photos say a lot. They really do. Mm-hmm. And there is a great photo of his teammates holding him up, and the video, obviously, yeah, too. But the stills sometimes tell a great story, And they're kind of holding him up. He made that field goal, went just inside the left upright.
Boy, because he kicked two.
By the way, he's the Lions kicker.
He's the Lions kicker.
If you don't know,
he kicked two, and each one went right, one went left. Like,
I think the first one,
no margin for it.
I feel like the first one actually nicked the upright.
Both beyond 50, both looked like they scraped paint.
Yeah. Well, he was genuinely elated.
Yes.
Like, it was a cool, it was kind of a cool moment for a guy who, like you said, he was selling bricks.
Yeah.
And now he's a kicker and he's the hero of the game. Like, the joy on his face was
pretty badass.
Definitely real.
Yeah. And I don't even like kickers, and I can appreciate that.
And then they gave him the game ball.
Nice job, you kicker!
And he had to give kicker has to give the speech in the locker room after the game?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and you give credit to the man upstairs, because if that would have gone
very Jesus-y.
If that would have gone left, Jesus made me hook that kick.
That's like horseradish.
What do you make of this stat? 2-point conversion numbers so far in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to guess what the make percentage is?
I've always heard that those usually hover in like the 40s or 50%, but because you're saying this, it's going to be way lower. I'm going to go like 38, 35%.
Well, last season we had the highest ever 2-point conversion rate at 55%.
Okay.
So far this season, teams are 24 of 74.
That's not so good.
That is 32.4%.
Not so good.
Well, how do you explain that?
I don't know. I mean, it might be one of those, again, just goes back to, you know, it usually goes back to the average, and it's usually somewhere in the 40s, mid-40s to right around 50%. So, you know, it's like the one we had the other night with Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. That ball just needs to go, you know, a foot lower, and it's caught. So maybe defenses are gearing up for that. Again, I think we've had really poor quarterback play. Who knows? There could be a myriad of reasons why teams are struggling, but it does feel like a lot of these 2-point conversions aren't necessarily going in. And maybe that's why, like, a team like Tampa the other night cowardly chose to not go for it against the Chiefs.
Would that affect, like, if you saw that the conversion rate in the league was 32% for the season, would that affect your decision making?
It might affect it if my conversion rate on short yardage. That would be more, because, like, a 2-point conversion is basically just a short yardage situation.
Yeah, to me, it would be more about the plays.
Yeah.
How confident do I feel about this play?
Yeah. Like, you know, where am I at? And again, I think a lot of that comes into, like, with Tampa Bay. If I have all the momentum, I have no problem going into overtime. But when my defense is gassed and I haven't stopped anyone in a quarter and a half, and my defense isn't very good to begin with, put the ball on Joe Burrow or put the ball on Baker Mayfield's shoulders. But yeah, if I've struggled with third down conversions and my offense has been pretty anemic and all that, then yeah, I may be more inclined to to kick it. I don't think a league wide average would really tilt that one way or another. And while we're talking about percentages and just numbers, did you happen to see any of the Dallas Cowboys game?
I try not to watch it.
Yeah,
Boy, they're bad.
My TV was allergic to it, but I was watching it because there wasn't a whole lot else going on.
Yeah, the afternoon games were crap.
Yeah, there's only three of them, and they're, you know, it was just bad. Did you happen to see Cooper Rush's stat line?
No. No, but I did see him play.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when he threw, I mean, I'm sure he's serviceable.
Mm.
Well, I mean, he's got to be. He's better than Trey Lance.
And he's been there for several years.
Everyone's better than Trey Lance.
Yeah, all right. But I'm just saying, like, when I watched him, the glaring the thing that stands out about him is how little zip he has on his ball.
Yeah. So he went 13 of 23, which, you know.
It's no Anthony Richardson.
No, 13 of 23 for 45 yards.
Okay.
That is a average 2 yards.
Wow.
He completed 13 balls.
Well, in his defense.
For an average 2 yards.
Didn't he throw the teddy to CD that he couldn't see?
He couldn't see.
Did you see Jerry getting all pissy about that afterwards?
Well, we've talked about this before. If you didn't see it, the Cowboys built their stadium in a different direction.
Yeah.
That makes it so that the sunlight comes in on the, obviously, be the west side.
Yeah.
And I guess. And
It's a problem. Like you lose it.
It's
the
a
sun.
Real problem.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before where he addressed this. He's always had to deal with these questions. And his point has always been, when we designed this stadium, the idea was that there was going to be buildings on that side of, I don't know what's over there now, or if they didn't build these buildings or whatever, or they're just not doing what they thought, but there would be buildings blocking that from the sun getting in.
That didn't happen.
In the whole plan of the whole, yeah. Because they're building a whole empire out there.
Yes.
So I don't know why that hasn't happened. I don't know what's going on, but that hasn't happened. And Jerry got all butthurt about it because he's just, at this point, Jerry has no more answers but to just get pissy about things.
Well, yes, he was butthurt about two things. He goes, well, we know what side the sun comes in, so we should be picking that like at the coin toss. It's like, okay, your captain's at the coin toss is not the problem.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb was asked after the game if he would like to see some curtains. And he was like, absolutely. He goes, I couldn't see the ball, and it should have been an easy touchdown. And then maybe Cooper Rush would have averaged 3 yards of completion.
Well, and then those curtains, they used curtains for WrestleMania, yeah. And they worked. And so someone asked Jerry, what if we use some curtains? He's like, out. What, do you want me to tear the whole stadium down? Yeah. Well, no, just give you some curtains.
And the best thing about that is you cannot make this up. I ask you not. So
you're talking about today?
Mike McCarthy was having his press conference today at the you know, they have that Ford Center. You know, they built, again, the huge complex. And at Mike McCarthy's press conference, because Jerry loves glass, the sun was shining into Mike McCarthy's face.
Directly into it.
So they brought in a sunshade to put up so Mike McCarthy didn't have to stare into the sun. Hand to God, you can't make that up.
Is that it? Jerry loves glass? Like all those buildings
he loves? Yeah, it's all shiny. Yeah.
That's his thing.
Well, glass is expensive looking.
But the day after the sun might have cost them a touchdown, they brought out a sunshade so that the coach wouldn't have to see through the sun at his press conference.
God, you got to love the Cowboys.
How about him? 2 yards!
What a mess.
How do you complete 13 balls in an NFL game and average 2 yards?
I don't think he has the arm. Like, I think it's kind of like
two?
Me. Well, but it's kind of like me being back there. Like, I can't get it 10 yards.
What is that? What is happening right now? 2 yards. Yes, hey. You can throw 2 yards. You are capable.
I said 10. I can throw two.
What about the rotator cuff, though?
That's on my right. Oh, I'm a lefty. All right. I'll be good. I'm good to go. Maybe I'll take up football.
You're telling me in like 4 years that Cooper Rush has been the backup, they can't find someone that can throw the ball 2 yards?
Well,
Jeebus,
he did.
About 2.5.
Well, they are. Look, it's not like it matters.
No, it doesn't.
None of it matters. That franchise is a flaming dumpster fire,
yeah, it's
and
kind
it's
of fun.
Absolutely great.
Yeah. It is.
It really is.
It's kind of fun because it's only going to get worse.
And now did you hear the Micah Parsons quotes today?
Oh, yeah. Micah Parsons came out and just filleted Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Well, McCarthy's dead man walking, is he not?
Yeah, I just don't I just don't recall a player being so...
For like a team captain leader type to just to...
Well, Parsons is a boob.
Well, yeah, it wasn't great.
God, what a mess.
The Texans and the Commanders may score 70 points against them. It's going to be hilarious.
Well, last night, Portland got a show... And it wasn't a blazer.
No. Yeah, I was there for that. That was the only good part about this whole thing.
The NBA's Shohei Ohtani has arrived. Next on The Fan.
Great Rob drops again. It's not a big deal that he was late on this one because we're supposed to break anyways. So probably just worked out just fine. Hold on. He's got to put some headphones in.
I'll bring the music back for a second.
There you go.
Hello?
Hi.
Can you not host the show while I'm not here?
Well, we enjoy when you're gone, because then we just get to hear the best of Isaac.
Fire off some Rop Drops.
Plus, technically, again, we're supposed to be breaking right now.
I don't care. I want to talk about Yuki. I got a text last night, so I saw the Blazer score, and I laughed, and then I forgot about it, right? I wasn't watching it. I don't care. But I got a text later in the game from a friend of mine. He's like, are you watching this? And I'm like, no. He was at the game, like you. And I'm like, no, I'm not watching. I'm like, what the hell's going on? He's like, dude, Memphis has this dude who is listed 5'8". He's no taller than 5'5".
He's tiny.
He is from Japan. Mm-hmm. He is a BTJ, big time Japanese, and he is dropping dimes on the Blazers. You got to tune in. His name's Yuki.
Dude, he's averaging 1 point a game, and it is awesome because when he came into the game, because at that point, right, it's like a 40-point lead. Like, they just, there was no one there in the first place. People are filtered out. No one cares. Dude, this guy comes in and we're not even paying attention. We're just drinking, eating popcorn at this point. We and some friends, we're hanging out. And all of a sudden, the crowd just starts going nuts. And we're like, what the hell is happening? So we kind of look up and then we realize that it's the Yuki kid.
Yuki
and,
Kawamura.
And you better believe that all of a sudden that my gal, BTJ, gets off. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's a little Japanese guy.
She didn't know of him?
She didn't know of him.
Because I guess he's a sensation
well,
over
now
there.
Now he's the, we
he's like
new,
the Shohei of basketball.
But he played college here, player. Though, right?
He played at...
like Nebraska or something like that?
He played at... no, he played over there at Tokai University.
Oh, I thought for sure... There was... I swear he also went to Nebraska. Is that not true?
Nebraska?
I thought he started playing there and then came to American College and then went to the NBA. But
pretty,
I may be wrong
pretty,
about that.
Pretty awesome if he did. I know nothing about him. Other than, for whatever reason, the Moda Center last night was losing their S.
What does that say?
Every time he shot, every time he touched the ball, they could not get enough of that guy.
Apparently, Yuki Kawamura is just the third player in Olympic history, because he played for the Japanese Olympic team, with 25 points or more, 5 rebounds or more, and 5 assists or more in a game?
No.
That doesn't sound right.
It does seem a little odd, but...
They're saying he had 29, 7, and 6 in the 2024 Olympics against France. He followed Kevin Durant and Luol Deng as the third player in Olympic history to have more than 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in a game.
Is that the one where they pushed France to the brink? Like, people thought that they were going to... If I remember correctly, they may have given France all they could handle in that game.
I don't know, but I tell you what, the Blazers didn't know what to do with him.
No. No, and he missed both of his threes, and the best part was, right, when he would jack up a three, the crowd just, you could hear, and then when he would miss it, the entire crowd was like, oh, and I was like, what?
Do you think that pisses off the Blazers?
That's what
players?
I was wondering. I was like, dude, if you were sitting on the bench, and you have just thoroughly gotten your ass kicked by a bunch of, like, the Memphis was without their, like, it was a hodgepodge group from the Grizz. You're sitting there, and your home crowd is cheering against you, and you're down by 40. At no point does your pride kick in. It certainly kicked in for Chauncey Billups. Like, he was disgusting. He's cursing. But, boy, no one put up any sort of fight. Dude, it was bad. And I mean bad.
What did he say? It felt like guys just showed up because they had to be here?
Yes.
Well, yeah. That's how you lose by 45.
Yeah. In a game that's basically supposed to be a pick-em.
But, can I just say...
My learned a lesson. When you're getting 31 as the live over-under and you're only down, like, 37... He looked at me and goes, there has to be a run coming, right?
That reminds me of earlier. It was early. I guess it was late last year, but Isaac was like, man, the Warriors are down 40 at the half. You got to take that live, don't you? Do you remember this? You texted me on a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And they ended up losing by like 60.
Yeah, the other night they were down 40 at half, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, 41.
And did they end up, what ended up?
No, they ended up losing by like 31.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
Like, we thought there was some good value there at like 31. It turned out that was terrible value.
Well, I feel like Yuki, first of all, is going to be a future Blazer. If they know what's good for him, they'll trade for him tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, the fans here would love him.
They would love him. And the other thing is about the NBA, and we can launch into this another time, but why are there so many games like this where teams literally don't show up?
Yeah.
Why does that happen all the time?
I don't know. I mean, the Charles Barkley's of the world talk about this, and some people say it's just an old guy yelling at the clouds, but he just talks about it's a cultural thing in the NBA that the guys do not care anymore, and that, you know, going back from the AAU thing, and it's no longer about winning, it's no longer about competing, the regular season doesn't matter, people take games off, and even when you're, you know, you're playing, you don't really care about the outcome, especially for a team like Portland where you know you're not going anywhere. This is just the NBA,
know,
and you throw in all the injuries, dude. The ratings are dreadful.
I know
they have a real problem. They have a real problem on their hands.
Well, of course, and I've been saying this for years. Like that league is so, it's just too long.
Yeah,
they make them play too many games. That's the only real logical thing I can think of. It's like these guys, some nights they just don't have it and they know it early and they just check out.
We were sitting there
because no team's immune to it.
No, it happens all the time. We were sitting there last night and we got tickets. My gal's company has a suite up there, and so occasionally they float us tickets, and so we were like, oh, why the hell not? Sunday, it was an early game, right? 6. So you're like, oh, we're not gonna be out late, like, we'll go. And dude, it was shocking how dead that place was.
Yeah.
For an early season game, and I know no Ja, but, you know, Memphis, it's not the Lakers or anything, but just...
apathy has set in.
And that's where you got to be careful. I understand this is year three of the tank, and you got to understand the assignment. But last year, I went to maybe four or five games, and as bad as it was because no one was watching on TV, the crowds were actually pretty decent. Like, you know, for the product that was out there, it never really felt awful. I remember I went to a Brooklyn game, I went to a Cleveland game, and it was a good environment. Boy, last night you could have heard a pin drop at that thing. I mean, honestly, it was like, and they did the moment of silence for Wheels, and then that moment of silence just continued for the rest of the game. It was bad.
I don't know why people...
Even the server up there was like, dude, he goes, I haven't seen it like this in a long time.
I really don't know why people pay to watch that.
Yeah.
It blows me away.
It's rough. And it's not getting any better.
All right. Well,
on
talk
top
more.
Of that, a lot of the guys that you were kind of, you said were your building blocks.
They suck. They don't have any good player. They have Jeremy Grant, and he's going to get traded.
Yeah.
And he'll be a good third option on another contending team.
Hopefully for Yuki.
So you look at it. Simons is a fine player, but look, Simons is not a building block.
Is he even a number two on a good team?
No. He's not a number two. He's like, he should be a three or a four. Boy, it sure seems like, I don't know if full on bust, but Scoot's not the guy. He's just not. Sharp, I guess you can still say you're holding out some sort of hope for.
But he's never healthy.
I don't know. And then, you know, and Klingon's too early, but Klingon can only play like 15 minutes a night because he gets gassed. Like, he literally can't play 20 minutes a night. And I know that, like, you know, he can get in shape, but I mean, that's the definition of a project. I mean, there isn't a single player on that roster right now that you say, feels like a definite building block going forward. And that is problematic.
Good times. All right. We'll talk more about them tomorrow. Up next, Club 1080 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.